Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying in the second part of Revelation. And our lesson today is lesson number 5, and it's about picturing Revelation. So we're still getting an overview or a big picture about what Revelation is about. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you gave this revelation to John, the disciple, as he was there on the Isle of Patmos. And Father, it was written for those 7 churches that the letters came from Jesus, as well as to us today in the church, because we are all one body. And I do pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, that we will learn of you and that we will glorify your name, Father. And I ask it today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in our last study on Lesson 8, we did a picture of chapter 1 through chapter 16. And today, we're going to get a picture of chapter 17 through chapter 22. Now, remember, this is just to get us a picture. Remember, we talked about an overview, and we have been going through that overview since we started our very first study in the book of Revelation. Now, this part of Revelation is part 2. We're doing a deeper study of the overview. It's to build up a foundation so that when we study each chapter, we will have a foundation that will help us to understand God's Word as it was written down. Now, this is the 3rd reference to John being in the Spirit. The first 2 were in chapter 1, verse 10, and chapter 4, in verse 2. And so, as John was in the Spirit, he saw the judgment of the great harlot, or the prostitute, that was called Babylon. And I want to read in chapter 17, the very first verses here, beginning with chapter 4 through chapter 7, to get us a picture of this Babylon. And I'll start with verse 4 of chapter 17. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And let's look at this before I do. Let me read verse 6 and then we'll read verse 7. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. So here, John, in his vision, being in the Spirit, he saw this great harlot called Babylon. And she sat on waters, and then on a scarlet beast. and the kings of the earth were drunk with her wine. And the beast here is full of blasphemous names. It had 7 heads and 10 horns. And the description in 13:1 is almost the same as it would be the same beast. Now, let's look at verse 7. And verse 7 says, "And the angel said to me, 'Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. So here, verse 7 begins to give the exclamation of this woman and the beast. The heads, the mountains, the horns are all kings. And that's what it's saying. The 10 kings have received authority for 1 hour, and it's given to the beast. And then they turn to this harlot called Babylon and burn her with fire." So remember, we're just doing a big picture of each chapter. And as we get through the picturing of this, we'll go back and we're going to take each chapter and we will break it down and we will get a clearer picture. But this is just getting an overview. So let's go on to chapter 18. And in this chapter, we see that Babylon is fallen, this great prostitute that is speaking of here. And I'll read verses 1 through 5. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird.'" Verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." And verse 4 says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive her plagues. For her sins are piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.'" So what then do we see is taking place in chapter 18? John saw another angel who said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Now, in Revelation 17, it was about the judgment of Babylon. But this chapter 18 is about her fall in 1 hour or 1 day. And here we see that the city is described. It says, "Full of unclean spirits and birds dwelling in Babylon. The nations are drunk with her wine, and the rich merchants are associated with Babylon." And as we look at this, remember, the book of Revelation is about signs and symbols. So we'll have to study and pray that God will give us understanding. Because if you pray and ask for understanding, God will open it up. And the more you read and study and desire to know the word, he will give you. Now, what was taking place? John heard another voice, and it was a call to God's people. They were called to come out of Babylon. And in this, the angel said that her sins are piled, heaped as high as heaven. It was a sinful place. And plagues were brought out on her in one day. And then the city is burned. Now, we'll go forward and we're going to see what is in the next chapter, which will be chapter 19. And in this chapter, we see there is a fourfold hallelujah. So, let's look at verses 1 through 5 and see what it's about. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her." And a second time He said, "Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came from the throne. So here we see that this voice came from the throne of God. Because remember, the Babylon is a city of corruption, and it's taking place on earth. But then when we look at this part in chapter 19, this is taking place in heaven, and there is praise and hallelujahs going out to God Almighty. And it's a description of heaven's response to the judgment on the great harlot Babylon. They are responding to God and praising Him because He is destroying this city called Babylon. And the saints rejoice because God has avenged the servant's blood. As we saw in the earlier verses, they were martyrs. The believers were being martyred, and their blood was being poured out. And here, they're in heaven, they're rejoicing because God is avenging the blood that was shed for the name of Jesus. And this is also similar to what we read in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Now let's go on and see what we see in the next verses here, verses 6 through 10 of chapter 19. "Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great." And then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." And then in verse 7 it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And then He said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And He said to me, "These are true words of God." Then I, John, fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So, what then do we see is the angel, this voice, saying to John, it says, of a great multitude praising God because he reigns. So this is the part of the great multitude that is there in heaven, praising God because he does reign. And the multitude then announced the marriage of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and his bride. The bride is his church, all of his followers, all believers, had made herself ready. She clothed herself in fine linen, the righteous acts of the saints. So here we see, this is it taking place in heaven, and as we finish out these verses, we see that John was told to write to those that were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They are blessed. And so John fell in these verses that we read at the feet of the angel, but the angel told him not to worship him, but to worship God. Now let's look at still in chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. This is talking about when Christ himself comes to rule and to reign. I'll read with 11 through 16. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now the main event that we see in these verses is Jesus coming to the earth. He is coming to set up his kingdom. And this description about him that is given here, we see a similar description as we read chapter 1 of Revelation. And here we see that there are armies in heaven that come with the Lord. And as we study this, we will see who these armies are. But as I've said earlier, this is just a picturing of every chapter, an overview, so that it's forming our foundation as we will go back and we will study each chapter word by word, line by line, and see what all of this is about. Now, we'll finish up in Revelation 19 with verses 17 through 21. And I'll read these quickly. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them and the flesh of men, both free men and slaves, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Now then, verse 20, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence by which he delivered those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with a sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and the birds were filled with their flesh. Now I'm going to just briefly say what these verses are saying to us. They're about the great supper of the Lord. It's about the battle between the King of Kings and those assembled against him. It's taking place in the armies on the earth. And then we see the beast and the false prophet at this time are thrown into the lake of fire, and the rest were killed with a sword from the king's mouth. And we know that, as we read earlier, that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And these that it's speaking of that were killed with a sword, these are the ones that took the mark of the beast, and they worshiped him instead of worshiping God. And here we see the birds have a supper as they feed on the flesh of the dead. Now remember, this is about signs and symbols. So we'll go back as we take this chapter in each chapter, and we will study about what these signs and symbols are speaking about as we study the word that it talks here. And this is not the same. This marriage supper is not the same marriage supper as the supper of the Lamb that was in verses 6 through 10. Now, let's go forward into Revelation chapter 20. And I want to read verses 1 through 6 first. Here we see, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, remember, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. And after these things, he must be released for a short time. Verse 4, then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead, on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. And this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. Now, here we see in this chapter as an overview that an angel with a key to the abyss, which is a bottomless pit where Satan bound the and threw him into this bottomless pit, and he was bound and put there for 1,000 years. So he wouldn't be able to deceive the nations during the 1,000-year reign, and that is the reign of the millennium. That's when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom. And then next we saw that John saw thrones for those giving authority to judge. And then he also saw souls of those beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus. And they hadn't worshipped the beast or hadn't received the mark, and they were killed, and they came to life, and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And this would be the first resurrection. These seem to be the ones referred to at the beginning of verse 4 that we read. Now, in verse 6, it describes, it says, blessed and holy of these, because the second death has no power over them. So they are become priests of God and of Christ. And then verse 5 says that the rest of the dead didn't come alive until after the 1,000 years. So what happened then after the 1,000 years? We saw that Satan was released, and he deceived the nations together for war and surrounded the beloved city. And that beloved city we will study is Jerusalem. And he is defeated and then thrown into the lake of fire. So John saw a great white throne where the dead are judged, and the earth and heaven fled away from the one who sits on the throne. And also in this chapter, we saw that the dead are judged according to the deeds written in the books. Now, this is the dead of unbelievers, not believers, the great white throne judgment. Now then, we'll go on and we'll look at chapters 21 and 22 and get an overview or a big picture of these two chapters. I'll read 21:10. This is talking about the New Jerusalem. And he carried me away, carried John in the Spirit. So this again, we see that John is in the Spirit. He carried me to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down from God. So this is the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. So let me go ahead and read then what it says. In that verse 10, that is the last use of the phrase in the Spirit. John saw the bride of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem, the holy city. So as he saw it, it was so magnificent. And we'll study all of that as we look at chapter 22. We're going to see verses 22. This is also chapter 21, verses 22 through 26. John said, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb, that is Jesus. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So here we see this magnificent city of God, and it gave us the description of it. So let's look then at some verses in Revelation 22, verses 13 through 21. I'll quickly read these so that we will have a complete picture of the revelation of the entire book of Revelation, starting with verse 13 through 21 of chapter 22. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right of the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and immoral persons and murderers and adulterers and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things, yes, I am coming quickly, says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. So here we see that this book ends with much of similar that it started with in chapter 1. It calls for the Lord to come quickly. Now, this is the part that we see all of this. We have been studying from lesson 1 through lesson 5 about the big picture, the overview, the picturing, that we're getting a big picture. That's what we have been studying for the first 5 lessons. Now, as we go forward into lesson 6, then we're going to go to chapter 6. And in this, we will read chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 through 8. So this is also kind of a setting for chapter 4 through chapter 8. It's about the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Now, as we go forward, we're going to eventually get down to each chapter, and we will study those chapters in more detail. But this is just a setting or a foundation for us to get a big picture, and then we will put it all together. So let's close today in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just can't praise you enough. We can't begin to thank you for your word and for your writing it down for us, that we can get this picture of the things that are to take place in the future. I pray that it'll make us more aware of those around us that are not prepared for the future. Because, Father, we as believers know that you will soon send your Son, Jesus, to rapture the church and take us out of the problems and the sufferings of this time. But there are going to be so many that are left behind. And I pray that in our study, it will make us more aware and help us to be greater witnesses to the world around us, Father, that we may tell them about Jesus and that you will be glorified in their salvation. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.